sin for all humanity and for all time were laid on Christ Jesus. He was our substitute. He went to the cross. He died for us that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Because all men are sinners and deserving of God's judgment. So all men need to be saved from this sin. The salvation of the cross is for men everywhere. Every part of man has been infected by sin's contamination. And the word contamination means to be corrupt. In other words, sin has corrupted man. His heart is the core of his being. And is deceitful and desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah 17 and 9. To treat sin's outward symptoms as described as works of the flesh in Galatians 5 and 19, without providing a person with a new heart would be like putting a Band-Aid on cancer. In other words, Galatians tells us the works of the flesh, and we cannot correct the works of the flesh without the Spirit of God. And when we try to do it on our own, it's only like putting a Band-Aid on cancer. The sin will continually to grow. Man's mind has been blinded to spiritual matters. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 say, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So he considers the spiritual matters of lesser importance. A man that has not the Spirit of God dwelling in him, he does not understand the things of God. It seems to be foolishness. He does not know the things of God, because the Spirit is what discerns and helps us to know and understand the Spirit of God. So because a person has not the Spirit of God, the spiritual things are not important, of no importance to him. He has a carnal mind that is an enemy of God, and therefore he cannot please God. His conscience has been dulled so that he is not sensitive to the Spirit of God. And that's according to Ephesians 4 and 19. His will has been defiled so that he cannot do good if he desires. Even man's best effort and his high achievements all are like filthy rags in the sight of God. God is righteous and holy. We are sinners. We are separated from God. Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, died for us, paying the price, the sin of death, taking our sins upon himself. Because he died, we have the opportunity through God's plan of salvation to become righteous and holy, enabling us to have a relationship with God. When sin is taken out of the way, then God can have a relationship with us. Romans 7 and 19 tell us, say, for the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So Paul is depending on, for us to depend on self, the things that we do not want to do, we end up doing them. If a person has not the Spirit of God in him, he wants to do right. Every day he'll get up and say, I'm not going to do this anymore. But because of sin, he'll go back and do the same thing over and over. Paul said, that I would not do is that I do. So I'm asking you and telling you today, sit down and take a time and do some soul searching. I want to tell you that being baptized and going to church, having your name on the church roll, does not make you a born-again believer. So many people are in the church. They got baptized. They never repented. They never stopped doing the things that they were doing. And they don't realize, even though your name is on the church roll, you're still a sinner. And I often tell people, I do not want to go to hell through the church. God is getting ready to come back and get his people. And if we have not the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside, we cannot go back with him. There's a brother in our church, Brother Michael Bernstein, he often tells us when God come back, he's not coming back and calling for the individual. He's not going to call us by name, but he's going to call for his Spirit. And when he calls for his Spirit, all the born-again believers will get up. But if you have not the Spirit of God today, sin is a weight and you will not be able to get up. Take time and do some soul searching. It's not just about going to church and having your name on the church roll. We have to be born-again believers today. We have to have a Spirit of God dwelling on the inside. It will lead and guide us into all truth today. Take your time. I plead with you to take your time today and just do some soul searching. Be sure you have the Spirit of God in you. Because so many people, they are baptized. They go down a dry center, and then they come up a wet center because nobody took time to tell them you have to repent before you go to God. Ask God to forgive you for all your sin. Ask God to come in and dwell in you.
I do hope you enjoyed this program. If you would like a copy of this message or would like prayer, please call 318-473-4539. Please join me at this time next week. Remember, God loves you. Bye.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuned into the Deceptions of Satan radio broadcast with Brother Leon Gaspy. Listen now as Brother Gaspy enlightens you about the different ways Satan may deceive us in our walk with Christ.
Good afternoon. This is Brother Gaspy. I've been talking here about how people are confused about getting in the church. They've been deceived by a lot of ministers who tell people that once you get in church and all you have to do is come to church, Jesus did it all. Jesus did, yeah, he did all. He did all he was going to do. But it's just like going, applying for a job. Once you get the job, you gotta show up for work. You gotta learn the rules and regulations and do according to the rules of the job, or you get fired. Ask me how I know. Many times I got fired because I didn't know the rules or didn't listen to the rules. Like I said, if you joining church is fine. Church membership is fine. But once you get in the church, you need to learn God's way of doing things and find out what God says. You can't always depend on what the preacher says, because a lot of times the preacher don't know. And that's why I said, they said judge a tree by its fruit. If you don't know anything about the fruit, it's kind of hard to judge a tree, because you have to do things the way God says do it. Otherwise, you're going to wind up doing work instead of working for God. If you learn to work with God, and I hear a lot of preachers and people saying, I'm working for God. Only what you do for Christ. God don't need you to work for him. He needs you to work for you. His work is to do is for your benefit, not for his benefit. God don't need you to work for his benefit. He's created everything. He owns everything. He's given you a chance to become like him and like Jesus. He wants you to become family. And this is why a lot of people are going to be disappointed. The Bible tells you they're going to be disappointed. It says they're going to be weeping and gnashing their teeth. And these people weeping and gnashing their teeth are going to be the children of the kingdom. Not sinners, but I don't know how the sinners are going to be punished, but I know it says the weeping and gnashing their teeth is going to be God's people, God's children. So if we would get in this book and try to learn God's way of doing things, do it His way, and God's promises without repentance. He don't lie, but His promises have strings on it, and that's the hardest thing to get people to understand. That even though God promised these fantastic things, and it's not hard to do, because if you would just follow instructions instead of doing it your way, like that in Romans 10:2, it says we have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Instead of doing things God's way, we tend to figure our own way. Oh, I know, this looked like it ought to be right. Well, it may be in your eyes, but then you're not God. It says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So now you have to learn God's way. In order to submit to God's way, you need to know it. If you don't know it, you can't submit to what you don't know, because you don't know. You say, well, I didn't know. And ignorance is no excuse of the law. It's like going out here running a red light. You might not know that it's against the law to do that, but if you do it, you're going to get a ticket, even though you didn't know. So next time, you'll know. So man is made in God's image and likeness, and a lot of things we do is, and He gives us a choice. You have a right to choose what you do and what you do not do. If you don't do what He says, then you expect, you don't expect Him to do what He says. It's that simple. You know, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. But if you don't scratch mine, then don't expect me to scratch yours, because I'm not going to do it. I didn't promise you that. I promise you I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. So that's the same thing with God. He promises you. These promises are made. He made the promises to Abraham. And we can benefit from the promises He made to Abraham, but Abraham believed God. That's why it was accounted to him for righteousness. So if we would believe God, and if you believe God, do what He say. You can't tell me you believe what I say, and if you don't do what I say, then apparently you didn't believe it, or you just disrespected me in the first place. So God feels the same way. If you don't do what He say, well, you can't really hold Him. And what He did not promise, you don't expect Him to do that, because He didn't promise it. This is a figment of your imagination. You're the one that come up with that. God didn't promise you that. But we, as a people, it's getting to the point now, you cannot believe even your close friends. Sometimes you have to check on everybody. And you know, living in the city can sometimes cause you to be like that, but it has its negative things of checking on everything and everybody. You have to trust somebody, but God is one you can trust. But you trust Him because you know, you get to know Him, and you get to know Him by reading His Word. And like I say, I don't know how to call myself a teacher or a preacher or what, but I find that this Word works for me. It works for me. And I know it'll work for you, because it worked for whoever will work it. God's word works, but you have to learn to work it. It's just like driving a car.